Women of grace, good morning. Folks out in the foyer, if you can just begin to move in. We are prepared to kind of get started a little early. Just give folks time from the foyer to begin to kind of wrap up and everything. You guys can kind of continue to talk. It was a little too quiet. I just needed to begin to move folks into readiness. You know what? I am going to ask the panel if you guys could come up. You guys can just grab any seat, wherever, while folks are coming in. I think we're still missing a few people out there. No, I was talking about the Yep. Take your time. We're a little early.
Pastor Sam used to say, the man's been here since the flood.
I know.
A live mic?
Yes.
Gonna turn mine off too.
It's being recorded.
Are you guys enjoying yourselves so far?
Yeah,
I know. I have been just walking in blessedness, you know? It's just been, you know, I heard people liken it to, I feel like I'm at a wedding, you know, a celebration, right? Just folks just really moved strongly into just the environment and the effort that has gone into preparing this day for us. You know, just like, right? All out in the foyer, our breakfast, it has been great. All right. So what this part of the conference is all about is a discussion. So it's not me standing up asking the panelists' questions. It is actually all of us. So you can kind of position, think of yourself as part of this discussion also. All right, so we have a panel discussion. All right, so it is everybody's opportunity to ask any questions that you may have. We have selected some questions, and these ladies, they're here. They will be speaking about grace, season of grace, and from their perspective. Everybody has different perspectives. Everybody comes from different backgrounds, different experiences, different struggles, but not just different struggles. We also have different successes, you know. We have different opportunities and testimonies and blessings, all right? So, yes, we have that grace to get through those tough times, but we also have that grace to be transformed. We have that grace of God for those victory moments, for when we are working through, maybe we're working through proposals and work and raising children, but we're also building businesses, we're writing books, you know, we're doing great big things, and God's grace is there for that also, all right? So Anyway, welcome today. Let me just go over my agenda. Like I said, we have a panel of women. You have their bios here. So you can just kind of, you know, many of you have probably already gone through the bios. They're in your bags, your conference bags. So the bios are there for each one of the women that are up here. We have Felicia, Solange, Luan, myself, Verda as the moderator, Caroline, Irene, and Angela. All right. So this is the panel that will be talking to you today. And we can get started. All right. So I'm going to present a series of questions, and then different people on the panel, the audience, will answer those questions. So to get started, the first question goes to the audience. All right, guys, get ready, all right? And remember, this is just a discussion, so we'll just kind of open it up to everyone. And that question is, we sang today about, like, amazing grace. We sang about amazing grace, God's amazing grace. I just wanted to just kind of, what do you think? What amazes you so much about grace? What amazes you so much about grace? So just take some time and just kind of reflect on that question individually, each one of you. What amazes? We constantly sing this. We sang it today. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, you know. What amazes you about grace? Anyone? Anyone have anything? Yes. So can you guys hear Karen? Sorry. I don't mind by running it out.
Even when we do something we know is wrong and we still do it again, he's always gracious to us and always forgives us.
Ball is out there. Anyone else? Right here.
Oh.
Think of.
I didn't know it was coming this soon. well, in my own world, when something really gets to you and you think there will be no answer or you don't know where to turn or who to turn to, and you go to him, and you pray to him. And sometimes you still lose hope and say, well, when is he going to answer? When is he going to answer? And then surprisingly to you, he just come true.
Yeah.
He just come true. Amazing grace. How sweet.
Saw one person back here.
God's amazing grace. It is amazing. And how fresh and new it is every day. It's not just a once in a while thing. It's like the mercy. He gives us his mercy every day, but he also gives us his grace. And it's forever. It doesn't run out. You know, so he's faithful.
Hallelujah. Grace doesn't run out.
When you think your story has ended, he always rewrites your story. That's grace.
Hallelujah. Amen. Over here.
Grace is for every aspect of what you're going through, whether it's good, bad, ugly, everything that Verda said, it's for every season that you go through. And it's always, always, always there.
All right. You know what? Two more quick popcorn answers. All right. Let's see. Here you go.
What amazes me about grace is that it's ever present, it's there at our birth, throughout our lives. Throughout life's issues, and his grace is there. He tells us that his grace is sufficient.
One more. Someone over your hat there.
I think one of the most amazing things about God's grace is he doesn't just give it to us, but he allows us to give it to others.
Praise God. Amazing grace. Always there. Hallelujah. All seasons of our lives. Hallelujah. All right. Just kind of to break the ice a little bit there. Praise the Lord. All right. Solange, let's see. What does grace mean to you?
I mean, am I working this thing right? So thank you for all of the beautiful answers. I often say I'm spoiled by grace. And for me, grace has always been undeserved favor, always in good and in bad times. As a mom, as a wife, it's when you feel like there's nothing more that you can give, it's this overflow that still, you know, comes out of you, that comes out of nowhere. As a teacher, it's being able to give out of what you feel you don't have to give anymore. And it's really what holds me in good times, to remind myself every time my feet hit the ground that it's going to be a good day, that all things happen for my good, whether they look like it or not, that it's never what it looks like. And when it's not going so good, that it shall pass, right? That, you know, grace is always, always there. There's this never-ending supply. And it's also the grace that God puts in other people, and for me most particularly other women, to continually extend to me. It could be through a smile, it could be through a story, it could be through somebody just holding your hand and, you know, making you feel, although they don't know what you're going through, that, you know, it's going to be okay, or grace is going to be sufficient for you to keep going.
In terms of what does grace mean? What does grace mean to you?
Sure. So for grace, it has so many different aspects to it. It's, of course, it's unmerited favor, mm-hmm. Solange mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's also empowerment. Yes. And it's God's abilities that work through us. When you have, Andres earlier mentioned 2 Corinthians 2:19, which is part of one of our questions, it's my grace is sufficient that his power is made perfect in weakness. And that grace in it's taking his ability, his power, and it works through all of our weaknesses. And that's why Paul says that he glories in his weakness. It's not like, say, celebrating the weakness, but it's celebrating what God does in them. And so, like, I, you know, just have, like, amazed in what God has done. And actually, like, what one of the other verses that I had written here is that, let's see, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, is like, when God's grace reaches more and more people, then there's great thanksgiving. God will receive more and more glory. So when I was in school, I just graduated in May 2023, just last year. And I was a terrible student in high school. I was a terrible student, even in college. But that was before I had Christ in my life. Mm. And then when Christ was in my life, I just saw how that empowerment and his ability worked through that. Because what the world says, because I struggle with ADD. So when it comes to learning things, it's what that means is like I'm heavily distracted. It takes a lot more effort to maintain and memorize facts, and it's a struggle to learn things. But with God, it was amazing. It was like when I was in college before Christ, like my strongest grades with
classes that I really enjoy taking, my strongest grades were BC, B's and C's. With Christ, guys, I graduated summa cum laude. My lowest grade was a 92. I took classes like way beyond what I could understand.
Yeah.
Like when we're talking accounting, statistics, I don't know anything about statistics. I don't know anything about counting. I was like paralyzed. And like one quick thing, because I don't want to take time from other folks here, but just one quick thing. One of my statistics assignments, I know you guys may know this, who's really good at math. I know there's a lot of people here. I'm not. It was like, you know, the rise over run, the slope thing. No. You know, it's a graph. Graphing,
oh, yeah.
Rise over run. Okay. All right. So I was paralyzed. I had no idea where to start. I had no idea what to do. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to fail this assignment because I don't know where to start. I don't even know what to do. So I just shut the computer down. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I prayed, though. I says, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Went to bed. I had a dream. The Lord showed me in this dream, showed me the answers of how to start the problem. He says, you do this, solve this. This is how you solve the problem. He gave me two ways of how to solve the problem. He says, if you do this, he showed me exactly what to do. And he says, the rest of the problems will all fall into place when you do those first two things. I woke up. I couldn't even, like, contain myself. I couldn't sleep after that. I got up. It was, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. I was like, okay, really? Is that really God? Sure enough, I went to that assignment, exactly what he showed me in my dream, and I, like got all those answers correct because of what he showed me in that dream. That Woo! Is grace working through that weakness. I'm telling you, like, just surrender to God. That's working his perfect strength in that weakness. I'm sorry, I don't want to take it anymore, but that's what it is.
She's excited.
Which way am I? I'm good now, right? Yeah, we might have to do a little, come up with a little snap when we hear something. Woo, transformative. Give it a little snap or something throughout the day. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was powerful. Because sometimes we have to, like, extend that grace to others. You know, God is constantly extending it to us, and we talk about it. So, Carolyn, I was wondering, how have you extended grace to others? You know, we've got God, and then sometimes it's this relationship.
So I think about when just the grace that God gave me in my own personal walk, in my own life, and where he has met me where I'm at. And I'll just speak for myself. It is not easy to extend grace sometimes when your flesh is just like, they do not deserve it. And God has saved me from so much. He checks me. The Holy Spirit will check me, and he will allow me. He gives me the grace. He gives it to me to extend to others when I don't have it. The love that cannot come from me can only come from him, to pass it on to others and to see. He has given me eyes to see as he sees people, to see that the same God that made me made you. The same God created you. We're all beautiful children in his kingdom. And so for me to withhold, I might be the only reflection of Christ that they meet. Reflection, I'm not him, but just something that may lead. And it's our Great Commission, the Great Commission to lead others to him. And so that's the only way. It's nothing in me. It's only what he gives me, the grace that he gives me.
Anyone from the audience want to add on to? Oh, right. Okay, press. I'll grab you. Yeah. I might have to stay right here. Extending grace to others.
Well,
what does that look like?
Heavenly Father, thank you. I extend grace to others by my testimony. In and my testimony to them, I've done great things for them. Thank you. Hey.
Here, Aman, every one of us have a testimony, and that's what it is about, all about just sharing that testimony.
Praise the Lord. All right.
I might just grab a regular mic. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think. That was the plan, right, Angela? Yeah. I know. Angela had it all worked out, but then we changed it. You know, God had already given the plan of how to work the mic system. Doesn't that happen, though? Sometimes it's already there, but we think, oh, let's do it this way, right? All right. Anyway, that's a little bit off. Solange, how have you extended grace to others? What does that look like?
Well, for me, it's been a bit of a training. God has been teaching me to extend grace to others in ways that I did not anticipate, by presenting me with challenges in my own family, in my own home, challenges in my own work. And I find that God will present you with challenges to those areas that you need to work on. And he will present people who will get on your last nerve, very, very last nerve, situations that go against, you know, what you believe in, how you're used to doing things. So I'm a type A perfectionist. Things have to be in their place. And my children are nothing like me. So my home is a constant battlefield of the mind. And my faith is constantly tested. And it hasn't been as easy for me. I have two teenagers in the home, a boy and a girl. And, you know, they get together against the parents. So it's been really an area that's been salient in my life lately, because God has been teaching me and taking me through it as I have had to reconsider things I believed in, ways to teach, you know, my children, to raise my children, even ways to be in my own marriage, and teaching me grace right there in my home, and teaching me to recognize that my kids are different, that they're going through different stages now that they're teenagers and growing, and that my marriage is also going through a different season and a different phase, and so is my career. And all of these transitions are happening to teach me to extend grace in the midst of the storm. So for me, it hasn't been as easy, you know, going through these different transitions. I was used to my kids being babies and wearing the dresses I put out there for them and the little pants and, you know, not fighting me for every detail. So in this season of my life, grace has been a battlefield, learning to extend grace in my home, learning to extend grace in my classrooms with different Gen Z students who do things differently, learning to get new skills that I didn't have before. And I find that in this season of life, learning to extend grace is learning to be faced with things that are totally different from what I thought, you know, they would be. My plan is changing. Life is changing. My hormones are changing. So I apologize, it's a bit raw, but premenopause. So extending grace is to me, it's a journey. It's a journey of continuous learning, but it's also removing the guilt and the shame from that journey, because we're learning, and God is not judging us. I think as women, as moms, as wives, as teachers, whatever, you know, our capacity is that we operate in, we tend to judge ourselves a lot. But it is a journey, and it's important as we extend it to others to extend it to ourselves too, as we grow through this. And so I continue to pray to have the eyes and the heart to continue to extend that grace, and to welcome the reminders of God to get back on track as much as possible.
Hey, I am taking notes. I am taking notes, just writing down little nuggets of information as we go through the day. And then I remember, oh, there's some notes in our package. So if you want to, you know, pull some of those index cards, some of the note cards out of your bag, grab a pencil, just begin to write some things down, you know, in terms of unmerited favor, you know, that, hey, God is still in the miracle. Yeah, miracle business. Hallelujah. And he's training and transforming. We're not to be like complacent. We're not to be stay in one spot. He's always taking us from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. And we are learning and changing from each level as we move. Hallelujah. So anyway, notes card, that was the whole thing for that. They're in the bag with a pen. All right, hallelujah. Someone mentioned 2 Corinthians 2:19 earlier, and the scripture says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, Angela said that, is made perfect in weakness. So how has God's strength in the area of grace been sufficient for you? So Luann, we're going to hear from you. So let's see who we haven't heard from. I gotta break it up. Luann.
Well, first of all, I can say amen to everything that these ladies have shared. And I'm not old. I'm older. And I'm in a transition. But God's grace that has been so lavished upon me all these years took me through the times when my husband wasn't saved, and it was a challenge. It was a challenge. And God's grace was sufficient to continue just to love and be there. When he got ill, God's grace, I used to say every day, God, you promised to never leave me nor forsake me, no, never. You'd never leave me without support. And he sustained me all of that time. His grace strengthened me when I was weak. And on another note, when my granddaughter came to live with me for, 6 to 8 months with her two dogs, my two great-grandchildren, it was wall-to-wall chaos. But I can tell you, God's grace sustained me. It didn't ruffle my feathers. Yeah, I would have liked to have everything in order, but it was more important that love and that grace was being extended to her because she needed it. And those babies waking up in the morning, coming up and touching Gigi's nose. Get up, Gigi, come on. Let me tell you, I can't even express the joy that it brought. When she moved out, was it quiet? Was it lonely? And it was organized. What can I say? But my entire life has been an extension. I hope I am not going to cry throughout this thing. And it's just been an extension of God's grace. It's like deity came down and put on flesh and entered into me with all the filth and all the baggage and everything. He loved me. And he never forsake me, you know. And I don't know how else to put it. And it's like you grow in it. The older you get, the more you learn to rely on that because it's there for you, because his love is so great. His love is so great. So, like I said, it's just so much that I could say, but I'll end with that.
So my power.
My power, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.
How has God, we're going to stay with that a little bit. How has God made his strength in the area of grace sufficient? We're going to stay with that. I want to hear from Angela. I want to hear from Irene, both of you guys, in terms of just the power of God. So if you guys. Oh, so what's the question is, how has God made his strength in the area of grace sufficient for you? Because it says, my grace is sufficient. How? For my power is made perfect.
Well, you know, what everyone's been saying here today, it just resonates so strongly with me because as women, we go through so much and so many transitions. And every one of us is transitioning every day, you know. And I could never look at Angela or anybody here and know what you're going through. But as a woman, I understand that we all are and what you're going through, where you are. And if we don't ask God for his grace each day to get through, I don't know how we would make it. How do people without that don't know the Lord or without his grace, how do they make it? Grace isn't a thing. Like, this chair is a thing. Grace is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And when I learned that, when I got in the Word, I was 27, and there was a lot of things going on in my life, and I needed to get into the Word and find out who I was and who was he in my life. I found such strength, and he taught me that that grace, that unmerited favor, would be with me every day, every step of the way, because it's a person who walks with you, never leaves you, never forsakes us. He's right there with us, so we can call on him. Like Anta said, her testimony is grace. We don't have to worry, oh, is he going to be there today? Is it going to be? I've got a lot of things to go through today, Lord. You know, work's demanding today, or, you know, my kids are off, you know, doing something crazy, or his grace is sufficient. It will take us through. And it's like, it never runs out, and it is unearned. So, you know how little kids, they'll break hands with you. If you've got their hand, and they'll run off, and they want to do things, and they'll run in the street, and my grandson was here last week, and if I'd let him, he would have crawled right off the edge of the chair and onto his head, right on the floor, because they're just going to do these things. And we, as adults, sometimes tend to do that with God. We take for granted that grace. And we'll run off, and we'll do things. But he's always right there to say, come back here. Come, take my hand. Take my hand. I want to walk with you. Let's go through this together. And that it never runs out. It constantly, he reiterates his love to us and his rules to us, and his rules are for our safety, you know, correct us, right boundaries. So I look at it and as, yeah, Lord, I want you to mold me and shape me. That grace is sufficient in every situation, and I don't want to be unwilling to accept it. Sometimes we're unwilling to accept. We don't look at it as grace. We look at it as, really, God, you want me to do what? No. But it's love. And so that's the beauty. Not earned. It won't stop. He won't stop giving it. The person of Jesus Christ is grace. So when we get into situations, we can know that he doesn't reject us. We can only stop his grace if we reject him. It's never ending. So we don't want to clog that pipeline. Our rejection clogs the pipeline to God. But even still, God doesn't reject us, and it thrills me. Thank you.
All right. Angela, the power of grace, the power of God, grace, the strength.
Absolutely, and we have to be careful not to associate English definitions of, or at least current understanding of what these words mean into what the Bible is trying to convey. Sufficiency here isn't just barely enough. This word sufficiency or sufficient, my grace is sufficient, it actually is a Greek word meaning that it's lifting a barrier okay? Or it's actually warding off something. 1 Peter actually talks about how grace is multiplied to us. And also, I think it's in Corinthians, but it talks about how we can abound in grace. So we can think of how the sufficiency is just barely enough, but no, it's multiplied and we can abound in it. And as like women, and this has been kind of interesting because as I prepared this, and Solange has mentioned it, and Irene, and it keeps coming up, and it's kind of in my notes, so the Spirit definitely wants to kind of convey the same things, how we don't want to receive it for ourselves. We can maybe it's easier to extend it to others, but it's harder to extend to ourselves. So we want to, we kind of condemn ourselves if our homes don't look like so they can fit in the cover of a HGTV magazine. If our kids aren't always, you know, like maybe well behaved someday, then we feel like we failed as a parent, you know. We condemn ourselves in so many different ways because we're not measuring up to what somebody else is doing or somebody else has some type of special gift, but our gifts are differing. God's graced us with all kinds of different gifts, and they show up in like so many different ways. So the strengths that he gives us are for us and to, you know, to shine his light, you know, through us. And so we can't compare ourselves to one another because when we do, then we're not in kind of staying in our lane because we're not doing what God's called us to do as individuals. I mean, I can want to sing as gracefully as Priscilla does. I can want to be as eloquent and so beautiful and encouraging as Irene here, or so nice and loving as my sister Maria over there, or so many other gifts that are out there. You know, but if I do that, then I feel less than. You know, I'm not measuring up. And we do that to ourselves, and that's not abounding in grace, and that's not, you know, having his strength work through us. And so just a kind of a word of encouragement to you is that it doesn't run dry, that it's so sufficient that, like, he freely gives it to us. So as he's freely given us his grace, we need to freely receive it for ourselves. So then that power can be made, you know, perfect in that weakness. Like, he's not up there, like, judging us. If we fall short, he's not, he's not the one condemning us. You know, Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation in Christ. And in Hebrews, it says that we can run boldly to the throne of grace, boldly, to receive help. That's when we need it, right? So let's go running boldly to that throne. We don't want to necessarily feel like we want to run boldly to receive his grace, but it's that time when we feel that we've fallen short, when we feel like fell off the turnip truck and we're on our head and, like, you know, up is down and down is up. That's when we run boldly. That's when he opened the door. He's, torn the veil for us to run there. He's already eliminated every single barrier for us to run there to that throne of grace. So then he can have, like, that grace that run perfect through us, you know, in that area. And that's why, that is so much why, like Paul just keeps saying, you know, that his, that's why he glories in his weaknesses. So let's glory in our weaknesses. If our house is dirty, our bed's not made, or, you know, our kids are, not acting right, whatever the case may be. You know, the dishes are in this. So what? You know, I mean, we can't have our house made up like HGTV. You know, come on. You know what? I a little side note before. I don't want to, take somebody else. But, I read, our beloved Joanna Gaines. You know, those things are all staged. You know, it's those homes. I read an article about that. All those things, they're all staged, you know, and after those shows are over, you know what, all the staging goes away, and they go fix up all the little touch-ups that they missed, you know, the angles of the cameras, they just get it just so right so it looks so perfect, you know, and they just want to, like, put on a, facade, it's a facade, you know, just to have an image, you know, and then we're like, oh, if my house don't look like that, oh, then I'm terrible. Yeah, like, my house can't fit in the, if I'm not a gardener, if I can't sow good, if I can't garden, if I can't grow, I'm not good enough. My house ain't good enough. So, but no, we can't be looking at that. So, Let's just receive God's grace. Give yourself some grace. Amen?
So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Felicia, we haven't heard from you. How can someone grow in grace? How can someone grow in grace?
And I obviously agree with everything that's been said so far, that grace is unmerited favor. It's getting something. So mercy is not getting what you deserve. Favor is getting what you don't deserve. And for us to grow in grace, first of all, I think that you need to know your calling. Because if you don't know your calling, if God has called you to do something, he gives you the grace for that. And so if you don't know your calling, you are measuring yourself against something that he didn't design for you. So it's interesting because at a particular time in my life, and she said, we're going through seasons, yeah. My kids were little. I used to go to work, 6 in the morning, work to 3. I was, quote, unquote, the manager, so I had to work like 60 hours a week, whatever. And one day I was leaving the house, and the lady living downstairs, she had 3 kids. Her house is immaculate. Like, you know, she was at home with her kids. She didn't go to work. And I was just going to work. I remember going to my car. And I was like, God, why can't I just be like her and just stay home? And I heard, you have not been called for that. Amen. Wow. And it kind of let me see that, okay, if I'm trying to be like her, it's not going to work. Right. Mm-hmm. No, because it's giving me the grace to be able to get up at 6 in the morning and go to work and do what I have to do. So I think one of the important things to know is to know your calling. As a manager, I used to try to hire someone, and they'll be like, oh, you know, I'll do the work, blah, 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 and so. And then I say, okay, so the shift is 6 to 2, and they're like. And to me, it was not a big deal because back home where I was raised, you better get up in the morning to do what you had to do. But that is not their calling. And so I think for us to grow in grace, we need to know our calling. That's one thing. The other thing is grace is one of the characters of God. And for us to grow in grace, we have to fellowship with him. Because it's not innate in us. So, you know, we fellowship in him. You read your Bible, you sing praises. You know, I have my thing playing in the car when I'm going to work, and I go to work. They're like, oh, you're in good spirit. Because I'm listening to the music while I walk in. So I think for us to grow in grace, first, you need to know your calling. And you know that if you experience grace, you need to extend it to other people. And you have to practice it. You know, it's like medicine. They go to school for all these years, and when they graduate, they practice medicine. We have to practice grace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, man, I was writing that down, fellowship with Christ, know your calling, just nuggets, just kind of being dropped into us. Caroline, I was just wondering, how can someone grow in grace in terms of...
First of all, it's such a blessing to be here right now and just to hear all the different perspectives from the ladies in your walk with the Lord. And growing in grace, it's been like a rebirth, a childlike experience. Everybody's in different seasons, right? Like, I'm... It's like there's a joy inside of me, but it's like there's also like bittersweet. Everybody walks a different walk. Mm. And when you were talking about like the house being cleaned and this and that, like that's the last thing on my mind. Like I, over the last 4 years, have overcome a 22-year opiate and alcohol addiction. Oof, lost custody of my son, but have been graced to be back in his life.
Hallelujah.
And so,
yeah.
So today, like the baby steps. Like I literally feel like I was ripped out of the womb. I'm a new creation, and it's like everything's in HD 3D, right? And it's Technicolor. It's been beautiful, messy, awful, all of the things, and to see God in my life, I can look back in hindsight and see how I ran and how he kept pursuing me. And, you know, we'll get into cheap grace, but I used a lot of cheap grace. It was like, I'm free, I'm in God and this and that. But the growth has been wanting to follow him and be transformed and to turn away from the old person that I was, because I was a horrible, deplorable person. And the fact that God would save a wretch like me, that he would. I can't even believe I'm up here. I have no business speaking anything, but like, it's only because of what God's done in my life, what he has placed in my life. And so, but I look up to all different types of women here. And so that the growth has been fellowship, praising. That is my go-to basics. It's been gratitude. Gratitude is like the core of when I think things are bad, man, they could be a lot worse. And the blessings, even if he didn't bless me, I would still praise him. I would, because I know where I'm going when this is over. And so that it's just a continuing, like you said, we have to give it to ourselves, right? That's hard to do when your self-worth has been completely trashed. And I don't know where everyone is sitting here, where you're at in that, but he has given me the grace to have confidence now, like the confidence. Like I used to not be able to look in the mirror. I hated what I saw. And the grace he's given me to be like, no, you are a child of God. You're mine. Like you're beautiful inside, in my heart. You know, nobody's good, right? But he is making me new inside and turning my heart into flesh, and like the bitterness, anger. There's so many things that could go on and on, but that grace, it's a, we walk out our salvation. We work out our salvation. It's a process. It's not a one and done. And so that's the hope shot for me today, is like it never ends. Like when I mess up, which is a lot, I fall short, I get to try again. I get to try again. Repent. Repentance is the core too, to, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, but can you help me, God? Can you help? Because I can't do it on my own. So that is where it's been like a child, like being born again. It's literally like baby steps.
Hey, stay with that, Caroline. You mentioned something about, did you mention something about cheap grace?
Yes.
Like, what is that?
So I was in prayer this morning. Like, I've been so excited to come here. And, like, I was talking to Joanne yesterday, and she's like, you need to be prayed up. And this morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm listening to my worship music, and I'm just talking to God. And I wrote this down, and it was, so grace motivates repentance and good works because of what God did for us. Because he loved us so much, even while we were dead in our sin. We will desire for him to transform us and want to turn away from our sin and our old ways, and eagerly want to do great things to show our love for God, not out of fear that we won't go to heaven or to earn our way into heaven, but out of the love we feel for God.
It's my turn. Praise the Lord. I was just right in there because sometimes we start off at a discipline, and we have to discipline ourselves. But when we move from discipline to intimacy, that's transformative. Yeah.
I want to hear from you guys a little bit. We want to break it up. You know, this is a discussion, so I don't know whether you guys have any. All right, there we go.
Somehow, I see it as this. I'm a literal person. I feel as if one point in time, I didn't think I'd understand what does it mean, the Spirit of God, but I feel like I can feel the Spirit of God. So God helps me in a way where it becomes literal for me. The way he helped me understand grace is, he says, when Christ walked on the streets, he was humiliated for me. Usually I'm not a shy person, but I'm quiet in a sense. I won't talk. So when I understand, wow, would I want people to look at me like that? Would I want somebody to see me with that almost no underwear with thorns on my head and somebody yelling at me, cursing at me, swearing at me? He helps me feel what Jesus felt. So for me, it's like I understood that love is how I understand grace. That's even how I even understand what love means. Most times I would look at what someone's done to me, what I'm going through, marriage, children, household, work. And then somehow I said, God, can I just see it through your eyes? Please forget about me. I don't want this to be, because it's useless. Every time I look at the outside, this is useless. And something happened in my house, and I was ready to go out. You did this to me. You're not doing the work. You're not following the way God says to do it. And somehow God reminded me, I didn't count everything you did to me. I gave you this grace without holding any strings attached. As a result, I'm constantly forgiven, given to the point that I felt I was at the end of my rope, like humanly feeling like I'm wasted, I'm done. If anything else come out, it's not my flesh, my mind, my will doing, it's him. And he allows me to be able to say, get on your knees and cry and pray for that person, for that person, for that person. You will never quit until I quit. You can't quit. So that's how I see his grace, as in, there is no limit, there is no strings attached. You just keep giving. And it's not about me. It's about, I need this person to see Christ. I need them to understand what I understand in that humiliation, in that like rawness of what he did for me.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Questions, comments, right over here. Let's see, what's the quickest path? I am that math person, actually. Rise over, Ron Slope all day long, all right?
Hi, everyone. Yesterday, I had an incredibly difficult day, which is okay. But in moments where I was feeling so unworthy, so not good enough, Jesus gave me a vision of him kneeling for the woman who committed adultery. In writing in the dirt, writing. And then I also had a vision of God, of the Samaritan woman who had so much shame and so much guilt. And he knew that he came out at that hour because she would never come before everyone. Because of that incredible shame and guilt. And that is Christ. And that is grace. And so in that moment that I felt so judged, so unworthy, this is what God does for me. He gives me flashes of things. And I saw that adulterous woman. And I saw that woman who wanted love so badly, she kept trying. And I'm just so raw, and I fought so hard because I didn't sleep all night, and everything in my flesh wanted to stay home today, and I haven't eaten, and I don't know why, but I'm here. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, grace for women, not the ones that have it together, but for women. I'm 20 years, I have almost 40 years of sobriety. But I stepped out. I am the Samaritan woman. And I forget. And when things start happening to me, I go backwards and I forget that grace. And for me, God has to get a 2x4 and hit me over the head and just give me. And I'm so grateful that I saw that yesterday. And, you know, a day at a time, you know. And just but all I could see was, and I thought to myself, because I began to judge and all those old feelings, that thing that I struggle with to get through, and all I could see was God, right? And that's our Jesus, not what we say to ourselves, not whatever other people think of us. That's our Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In John chapter 4, what you were talking about, it actually says, if you look it up, Jesus had to go to Samaria. Mm-hmm. And that's the route that they would all run around. They would go all around Samaria. And it says Jesus had to go there because he purposely went there and he purposely went to that well to reach that woman. And that's where God reaches us. When he knows when we condemn us, he knows when we're kind of like in that rut, he purposely goes there to reach us.
We're speaking right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this time, Lord, because all day is not just about us receiving, but it's also about us giving, Lord. And we just ask you to bless right now, Lord. Many of us in this space right now, we're coming, we might be broken, we might be hurting right now, but we just ask you, Lord, in your name, Jesus, to give peace, Lord, to bring healing, Lord, to bring wellness, transformation and restoration, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, right now, Lord. Bless this sister. Bless everyone, Lord, today who may be just struggling and don't know and can't quite hear what is being said, Lord. We just ask for you, Lord, to bring peace, Lord, to bring joy, to bring understanding, Lord, to lift up, Lord. Break chains, Lord. Let your grace, Lord, your unmerited favor, hallelujah, just rest upon us right now in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go up, Joanne. I've got some. Hallelujah.
You know, my big thing is about being transparent. You know, we all didn't, I wasn't raised in the church. I came to Christ about 20 years ago, and I don't know why I have to share this right now, but it's, you know, you don't recognize grace until afterwards sometimes. And for me, my childhood wasn't that great. And, you know, we look at each other where we are now, but we've all had, you know, a journey up to this point. For me, you know, I was a product of teenage pregnancy. I had a child very early, way before I was even ready, supposed to, and all that. And I'm sharing this now because when I think about having that child at that age, when I was just a child, I'm like, God's grace was right there before I even knew it. And he gave me that grace from that age. And I, right here, I'm standing here embarrassed even just to say it, but at that age, to raise a child, a child raising a child,
you know, throughout his life, through my life, and I see his hand after the fact on every single journey that we went through as a single mom and a child. And, you know, it's you don't even appreciate it until you look back and see all those things that he brought you through that you didn't even know his grace was even acting in your life, right? So, you know, my son, he left this world 8 years ago, and God's grace was there to the end, even going through that, you know, with losing him. His grace just carried us through. So when we look back and you say, you know, here I brought this child into this world not knowing what I'm doing, but God's hand was through his whole life and through my life to rear him. And he's still there. We've had so many other things, but you got to look back to see what he has done for you. You've got to look back. Because you don't see it. You don't see it when you're in it. It's when you reflect and say, wow, how did that happen? How did I get through that? It's his grace that got you through that. That's what got you through it. So, you know, you don't want to always look back because he said don't look back, right? But sometimes you need to look back to see those blessings that he's bestowed on your life, that you can take those lessons and take that grace and apply it to the future.
Look what the Lord has done.
Praise the Lord. Cindy.
I actually just had my hand up praying for that woman over there. But as we were praying, I felt like healing was taking place. Healing is taking place. And these lives and whatever you're crying out for, healing is taking place. I just felt that. And I was just like, God, thank you so much. He's just such an awesome God. He really is. When we doubt, I doubt a lot. I do. And I need to be reminded by his word, of course. But he is always faithful. He has showed me that he is always faithful. If you keep your eyes on him, if you keep your eyes on him and his word and keep building that foundation that he wants you to build, you're going to stay strong. You're going to stay strong and go forward in him. And he is going to always be there when you keep looking to him. We walk away, not him. We do. But we need to stay strong and keep seeking him and looking to him. And healing will take place.
I'm listening to everything that's being shared here. And right now I'm going through something. And I think pride is what prevents us from extending grace to others. Because what would people think of you? How are people looking at you because of the situation that you're going through? And because of it, you don't want to extend grace to the person. You are upset. And you don't want to, you know, it's like you're pushing this person away. But God is showing me today that I have to extend grace. I have to extend grace.
Hey, that's what it's all about. Hey, right? Getting out of ourselves. All right.
I keep asking myself why God created me this way. But he's always telling me I know what I'm doing. Why am I born deaf? Why am I having hearing problem? Why am I having back problem? Why am I? I mean, I question God all the time, but he said he knows what he's doing in my life. And I said, thank you. In my family, I would say, okay, why are they treating me this way? And I give God the glory that I know this church. I know Faith Christian Center because immediately I park my car every Sunday or any time I come in, I'm lifted up. As love overshadows me. Love overshadows me. And God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. At my job, I was like, why don't I go to church? I've done it 3 times that I'm going to school and I'm on my way to, I said, excuse me, where are you going, lady? You're supposed to go to this way. Why are you going to church? You know what I did? I came to church by the gate. I just said a prayer and then I went back. I said, God, are you sure you are for me? He said, yes. I created you this way. If I wanted to be deaf forever, you'll be deaf forever. But he made it work that I had surgery in Great Britain, that I'm able to hear, and I have another surgery 3 years ago so that I can have cochlear implant, that I can hear people well. And my job, I just thank God for his grace is sufficient. And I love the way people help me out in this church. People look down on me, but I mean outside, not in the church. But I don't care because I know God created me in his own image. I love him. Anytime I want to look back, I will say, ah, lady, see what God has done, how he has brought you far to this place. How he has brought you. Some people are looking for the job I have, they don't get it. Some people are looking for the health I have, they don't have it. So why can't I thank God for the grace that he has dropped upon me? Yes, my kids are behaving this way. He said, don't look at that one. People are pulling me down. They're cheating me. They are robbing me. What I mean by robbing, they all kind of stuff. And I said, okay. He said, just overlook it. And I said, okay. If not, I will be in the deep water of high blood pressure or all kind of sicknesses. But the one that he has given to me, I asked him one day, I said, can you take this cane from me? I don't want to use it. He said, hold on. My grace is sufficient. I'm using this for, I want people to see my glory in your life. I said, oh, yes, okay. Continue to do what you want to do. I just thank him, and I thank this women conference, and I thank the church that I am. I cannot compare this church with any other for its glory and its grace upon me and my family.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? It is all right, you know, for sometimes we have to multitask, all right? We can have prayer group going over here, and we have praise reports over here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's good. All right. But we're together. We're together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God is good. I wrote that down, what Wendy said. She said, pride prevent you sometimes from extending grace, right? Hallelujah. But God's grace will break that chain. Hallelujah. It'll break that chain and bring healing and restoration and deliverance for us. Let's see. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Let's just kind of wrap up. Felucia, all right? You've got some popcorn closing words for us, and we'll just go right down the line for each person on the panel.
So I think that it's important for us to know not just grace, but also forgiveness. So if you don't have a car and you borrow your friend's Volkswagen and you hit a Mercedes, well, that's not good, right? So if the guy from the woman from the Mercedes gets down and both cars are damaged and he said, that's okay. You don't have to fix my car, you know. And you're begging that, oh, this is not my car, you know, I'm sorry, whatever. And he says, don't worry, you know, you don't have money, that's okay, you can go. He has shown you mercy. When he says, what do you mean this is not your car? Oh, yeah, I don't have a job. Say, okay, I'll give you a check to fix your car. He has shown you grace. So, and I think it's important because, like, I struggled with forgiveness. I don't know that I'm totally out of it, but I because I felt like, why should I forgive this person when they've not even said they're sorry? Like, you know, why should I even forgive them? But forgiveness is reactive. It's when somebody has done something to you and you let it go. Grace is when they've not, and you give something. You know, so I think we should, as women, we should not only learn to forgive, but grace, be graceful, you know. And like I said, you can only, for me anyway, I have to learn it, you know, like, we just have to be graceful, you know, and you have to practice it, you know, like, forgiveness is a character of God. We have to be more like Christ. And the more we fellowship, the more we pray, the more we fellowship, not just with God, with each other. Because you don't know what people are going through when you're in your own, you know, island doing your own thing. So if you don't fellowship with people, you can't even pray for them effectively. If you're praying for someone that you know, the way you pray for them is different from something else. Mm. So I encourage us, and I'm speaking to myself. Somebody saw me here today and said, you? Yeah. So I encourage us to fellowship with each other, you know. I don't want to take all the time because I know there are other people that want to talk. Thank you.
Florence, you got your popcorn. I don't know whether.
Ooh, child, this is good. Thank
you. Can we do popcorn? I don't know.
All right, so. This is good. This is grace. I'm learning so much. I'm all sweaty. I'm learning that the most powerful grace kicks in when we're at the end of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the lessons that God has been teaching me lately. For many of us as women, moms, wives, all the hats that we wear, we're so resourceful. We know how to do things. Mm-hmm. We're multitasking, which, by the way, is not so good for us. But,
exactly.
and we do it all, and we have so much power. But through all of this power, we forget that God's grace comes through our weaknesses. And when we hit that wall and we come to the end of ourselves, and I think that's what God wants us to do, is to come to the end of ourselves. When you have no more resource, no more Googling, no more strength, you know, the gray hairs are kicking in and you have to give in and get on your knees. And I've been learning to rejoice when I see those times happening. There was always this verse in the Bible, you know, it was good that I was afflicted. And every time I read it, I was like, God, I don't want the affliction. Can we just take the afflictions away? But I'm learning to rejoice when they come. I'm learning that it's good.
Amen.
That it means that God's grace is right around the corner and that it's kicking in. And I'm learning to recognize the systems of the enemy, because he's not very creative and he always comes at us, you know, one way, but he shall flee seven ways. And to rejoice. So when that comes, when the tears come, you know, when the weaknesses come, it's all good. His
Amen.
Grace is
Amen.
Right around the
Luann,
corner.
Luann, are you?
Yes.
Your popcorn?
What's popcorn?
Yeah. All right. That means that's your 10-second nugget you're ending with. Your 30-second nugget.
Okay. You know, when you
30
talking,
seconds.
Felicia's talking about forgiveness, and I read something recently that said, you know, you take the poison and you expect the other person to die. And it's, you know, as the older I get, the easier it is to forgive. And I guess I've just become selfish in my older age. And I want to be free. I don't want to be in that cage.
Yeah.
I want to extend that same grace that my amazing
Hallelujah.
God
Hallelujah.
Has
Hallelujah.
Sent to me.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it just makes my mind boggle at the goodness of God. He's always there. And in spite of me, he loves me. He knows me. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every bone in my body. and he's created me, and I am just so grateful. My heart overflows with thankfulness and gratitude to the amazing God that he is.
Amen.
And I
Amen.
Am not going to cry.
All right, Caroline, this is you. You're up, Caroline.
But it's just...
Maybe not. You go. It's you, Caroline. Hallelujah.
Just, I echo what all of my sisters said, and just falling into that grace. And it's, I can see, like you said, in hindsight, right, looking back, when I couldn't go on another step, when I didn't see a way where there was any hope or anything, the grace that he covered it with, that he covers it with and fills me with.
Irene.
How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon or seen it from the air? It's amazing, right? God laid this on my heart about always extending grace to others, especially ourselves, but others. The Grand Canyon, we flew over it one time, and I could see the whole thing, and I was awed by the size of it and the depth. And it reminded me of the depth and the height of God's love and grace to us.
Hallelujah.
But there was a man in our town, and he was a brawler. I mean, you always heard about him getting in fights and, you know, bar brawler. And he happened to be married to a friend of mine. And I was always praying for him. And then one day, one of my brothers was over, and he told me about a new escapade this man had gotten into. My brother said, "He'll never change." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. He'll never change." Immediately, my brother left, and immediately the Lord said to me, "Don't do that again." He said, "You have been praying for him." And he said, "Never change your words. Don't draw back. Don't stop believing me because you don't see it yet." Amen. And there's things going on in our lives we don't see yet, but God's at work. And he said, "You stand your ground and hold fast your confession of faith. If by continuous washing of water I carve the Grand Canyon, what can the washing of the water of my word do to a stony heart?" Yeah. I repented really fast. You know, about 10 years later, I saw him again, and I had to talk briefly with him. He was totally different. Completely different. I was staring answered prayer in the face. Amen. And I could almost imagine God chuckling and saying, "I told you so, I told you so." Someone might reject the gospel, but until they no longer have breath, God doesn't reject them.
Amen.
He never rejects us. So don't give up on people. Don't give up on yourselves. Stay in prayer. And you ladies are awesome. Stay, walk in faith. He's got this. He's got it.
All right, Angela. Angela, praise the Lord. God is good.
Just as a final word about grace is that it never runs out. We can never use it all up. The well is eternal. It doesn't have an end. It doesn't have, although the Grand Canyon does have a depth and it is high and it is wide and it is deep, there is a boundary to it. There is no boundary to God's grace. And when he's in John 10:10, when he says, I came to give life and life abundantly, that is also his grace. Abounding grace, and the grace is multiplied. In New Testament, multiple times, it says, "Be grace and peace be multiplied to you in the Lord Jesus Christ." So let it be multiplied with you today and beyond.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been blessed. I've been blessed up and down, sideways. The rich discussion that we've had has truly been a blessing. We're going to transition to another phase. I want you to, bring out, open your little, your banner. Each one of us have been assigned to a group. You might be Inspire. You might be Harmony. You might be Extraordinary. You might be Radiant, whatever group you're in. That you can see what order of the different breakout groups you'll be going to, all right? So we're going to have a quick break. We did run over time a little bit, but hey, was it worth it?
Yeah.
Hey, all right? We are not going to be a total slave to this schedule. Sorry, Ms. Joy. All right. So a quick break. D2L downstairs, if you were to go out the doors to your right, out the sanctuary to the right, and then there's going to be door immediately downstairs. There will be people directing you to get down there. If you're in the sanctuary, that's right here. If you're in classroom B, that's again toward the right or that way. If you're in the jumpstart room, then that's over here to the left of the sanctuary. Yes. They're on the cards. So everyone, so if you